You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as the countdown to kickoff continues. We've got a real football game this Friday night from Australia, college football, Cal and Hawaii. We've got dress rehearsal football week 3. NFL preseason starts Thursday. We're breaking it down. Mike Cardano's going to join us. Dan Malinsky joins me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we will be next weekend for week 1 of the college football campaign. NFL football regular season right around the corner as well. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart's going to join us in studio. We'll get his football thoughts as well as, of course, his PGA thoughts. He's our resident golf insider. Cam's going to break down this FedEx Cup. The playoffs, playoffs, they're playing for $10 million. That's what it comes down to. Nobody really understands the points or really cares about the points. They play for majors, yet nevertheless, we have 125 of the best players in the world. And we're going to talk about a couple of guys that didn't make the cut. And I guess the theme of the show today is that it's a cold world. It's the National Football League preseason getting ready to wind down basically right now. We're into the dress rehearsal weeks right now, but a lot of players in the National Football League are going to find out that it's a cold world. Yet the NFL is a lot like the CBS TV show Survivor. You know when you go on the show Survivor that you're going to starve, that they're going to treat you like crap. People are going to talk crap about you. They're going to backstab you, and then they're going to kick you off the island. Yet there's still hundreds of thousands of people that want to go on the show every year. And there are still hundreds of thousands of players that want to play in the National Football League. Unfortunately, not everybody can. And I once heard Randy Cross of the San Francisco 49ers say that there's a saying in the NFL, you're the guy till you're not the guy. As Colin Kaepernick, he was the guy, he's not the guy. Wasn't that long ago, people, that Colin Kaepernick was flexing his arms, kissing his biceps, and was selling more jerseys than anybody else. The dude was a freaking superstar. He was a household name in the United States of America. Now, he can't even beat out Jeff Driscoll, a rookie from Louisiana Tech, for the second string backup quarterback position. Geno Smith was a first rounder. Now he's going to be on the outside looking in, right? Geno was an early second rounder, right? Early second rounder on the outside looking in. It's a cold world. There's always somebody ready to replace you after the fact. And they're so vicious about it. Look at Carlos Williams and the Buffalo Bills. Carlos Williams scored touchdowns in 6 straight games last year. Carlos Williams, like a fantasy darling. I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. I love Carlos Williams. Dude found a way to get the ball in the end zone. Well, he's been released. He's been cut. And not only are you like, not only just, Mr. Williams to them, you're just another Williams. Not only is there always somebody else ready to replace you, we got a dude with the same damn name. Carlos Williams, you're gone. Jonathan Williams, you're in. You're the guy until you're not the guy anymore. That's just a fact of life. I lived in Hollywood, California, and I lived near the bus station, and I used to see it every damn day, man. There was a starlet that was bright-eyed and ready to do whatever it took to become a star. And if anybody complains, then hey, there's always another guy. The UFC is the same thing. There's a dude in Iowa right now, lifting hay that's ready to kick some ass for the UFC. There's a dude in Kazakhstan right now that's willing to fight for $30,000 in the UFC. You're the guy until you're not the guy. And what's amazing about it is, sometimes you don't even get a chance to be the guy. Jared Goff is supposed to be the guy. Things are going so bad, turns out he's number 3 on the depth chart right now behind Sean Mannion. And other times when you're the guy, the people in the stands don't want you to be the guy anymore. I'm old enough that I remember that they wanted to push Dan Marino out the door for Scott freaking Mitchell. That's right. I'm sure many of you watching right now go, who the hell is Scott Mitchell? Scott Mitchell is the dude that they wanted to throw Dan Marino under the bus for in Miami because he had a good year with the Detroit Lions once. You're the guy till you're not the guy anymore. And we see it time and time and time and time again. As Jared Goff is finding this out right now, it's not even easy to become the guy. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott, he's the next guy in waiting. But I guess that's why we have the NBA, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year Award, right? Who's going to be next, baby? Who's the next guy? Bring it on. The season's about to begin. We're breaking it down. Cardano's going to join us. We've got Cam Stewart in studio. Malinsky for the Strip in Vegas. All that and more. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live weekdays at 2. Show replays at 5:30. We've got a great show. My good friend, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, will join us in studio in a couple of moments' time. We'll talk some golf, and we'll have a little fun as well. And, you know, when you think of Cam Stewart, you think of golf, you think of sports betting, and you think of food. So, yeah, we're going to touch on all three bases today. Malinsky's going to join us from Vegas. I'm starting to get that Vegas vibe right now. Is that we'll be in Vegas, not this weekend, but next weekend, week one of the college football slate. Always a blast being there for week. You know, there's certain weeks, there's only, you know, there's certain select weekends that are great times to be in Vegas. Week one of NFL is great. Week one of college is great. But I'm not going to lie to you, I wouldn't be going there unless I had to enter the Las Vegas Super Contest in person. But I'm not going to sit here and cry and complain, because I've done that to a couple of people where I'm like, ah, I got to go to Vegas next week. And they're like, oh, poor you. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Oh, poor you. I really don't want to. But we are. But I'm sure many people at home right now are thinking, shut up, you bastard. You're going to Vegas for week one of the college football campaign. But I don't want to, but I have to. Let's bring in Mike Cardano. Let's talk some football. Never been to Vegas with Mike Cardano, but we'll be going to a Syracuse Notre Dame football game with Cardano. He's got his Syracuse Orangemen gear on already. What's up, Mike?
You know, you can vote by proxy. You don't have to go to Vegas. Nobody's forcing you.
No. By state law, you have to. You have to. Trust me, Mike. And in fact, they've applied to the Nevada State Gaming Commission to allow people to enter from out of state. But as it is now, by state law, I have to go. It really is true.
But can I get a proxy in play? Participate?
Yeah, but the way it works is you've got to enter in person with the proxy. So I sign over the power of attorney, basically. So I got to go up and say, all right, this is the guy that I'm going to allow. You're allowed one person to put in picks for you, but you've got to register in person.
Well, what'd you do? You finished 8 last year? You're big time now.
Yeah, 8th out of 2,000 last year.
Not bad.
Year before, 31st. Yeah, and 30th would have paid. So we're just one game away for being 2 years in the money running. They pay the top 50 this year, actually. But yeah, it's luck of the draw, Mike. You got to be good to be lucky, but lucky to be good too, right?
Well, you're feeling it though.
Yeah, you know, I can't lie. I haven't had a great summer, but there's something.
Well, you do.
There's something about the NFL. The CFL killed me, but that's besides the point. That and betting, like Olympic basketball, things started out so well, but I don't know. I don't know how it's possible. It didn't end well, Mike. I don't know how that ended. I don't know how that ended like that. But
then. Well, for those of you who want to come out to Syracuse, Notre Dame, it's October 1st, the Meadowlands in New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. We're going to have a roaring tailgate party there. Gabe will be there. I'll be there. And it'll be a rip-roaring time.
Yeah. So is our boy Cha-Cha going to be there as well? I see he's following me on Twitter now. Met him at the event. And I didn't even know Joseph Lisi was going to be there. I didn't even know Joseph Lisi lived in New York.
Listen, Cha-Cha,
our guest, eh?
Cha-Cha's like a dog. He just comes along. He tags along wherever. There we go. Yeah, Joe's in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, I hope Cha-Cha. I want to do some tailgating. Didn't get a chance to hang out as much as I would have liked. It's going to be off the hook. Saturday, October the 1st, I'll be betting on the over of that football game. All right, you know what? The Jets are playing the Seahawks that weekend, actually, Mike. Did you know that? They're playing the Seahawks the next day.
I did know that because I've got my scope set on Engel. I plan to suppress him any way I can for that week.
Oh, that's amazing. Are you going to go to the game with Engel?
I'm going to go to the game. I'm going to make sure he sits beneath me in some way, and it's a home game for me. I'm going to enjoy myself as long as I can, and then if I'm losing in the fourth quarter, I'll get the hell out of there.
Are you a season ticket holder for the Jets?
I am not. Once they went to the the what do you call that? Where you got to pay
the personal PSL crap.
Yeah, I said the hell with this. I just StubHub when I want to go. That's
So you know, I only bring that up because they're the designated home team this week against the Giants. I tell you what, Mike, you know, the Giants have been terrible in the preseason, man. And I know, you know, the preseason isn't the real season, but the Giants aren't good enough just to flick a switch. They've been outscored 48-10. If Eli Manning gets hurt, they're done. Like, I know you can say that about a lot of teams, but Nassib's terrible. I remember as a Bills fan, Marone was the coach and Nassib was the quarterback at Syracuse. And a lot of us thought at the time that they were going to take Nassib because it was his guy. And that's all you need to know, right? That when they took E.J. Manuel instead, that worked out great, but they took E.J. Manuel instead. But it goes to, you know, it tells you a lot when a coach is the guy's, you know, the quarterback in college and a coach in the NFL doesn't take him. It tells you a lot about the guy.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't put too much stock in what's happened before. You could just look at how many times they've thrown the ball to their best receiver, the Giants. And it really hasn't happened yet.
So what you're saying, though, is they're a one-man team then. Like, that's all they are. They're going to throw the ball to Beckham.
That's how they did it last year, right?
Yeah, it didn't work out well for them. I mean, you know, like, their running game is still a problem. Andre Williams is fumbling the ball. They don't have a number one running back. This defense.
They will give the ball. Williams will get the ball a lot more often this year. I do feel that.
Can he hang on to it?
This is a big week. This is a big week. It's week three. The starters are going to play at least half the game, if not three quarters. This will be a tell. I wouldn't go too much by what you've seen before, other than the people who are getting the opportunities and shots like that. For the Jets, you could take a lot of it. How much time is Bryce Petty going to get as compared to Geno Smith? Those types of things will tell you a lot about how they're looking.
Well, the Jets, obviously Fitzpatrick's a starter there, but they've got a decision to make, and Hackenberg has made it a lot more difficult for them.
He's out.
It's unbelievable. What do you do with this kid? You draft a guy in the second round, and he's not even going to take a damn snap. I assume he's going to play in the fourth preseason game.
Gabe, he's about as relevant as the picture you got up of him.
You're right. Like, he doesn't deserve a face. Like, that's the thing. He doesn't even deserve to have his face up right now. But if they put him on the practice roster, any team can claim him. And they took him in the second round. This is unheard of, that a second round quarterback would be released, basically, after a single training camp. You know, the writing's on the wall, man. Bryce Petty looked real sharp last week. 16-26, two touchdowns, very impressive. He's a great athlete. He's throwing the ball crisply. He's better than Geno Smith is. They can't keep four guys. Geno, you're gone. Geno's going to be gone. I'm telling you, Mike. Geno's gone. Like, next week, Geno's not a Jet.
Listen, Bryce Petty was playing Madden 16. He learned how to play the game there, so he said. Apparently, he did well. Madden 17's out. I'd like to see him play. I'd like to see him how he plays there, and that'll tell whether he gets a second spot or not.
Yeah, well, Carlo, I don't know what Madden 17 means, because I think Carlos Williams is in Madden 17, right? So Carlos Williams, fantasy football darling last year, touchdowns in six straight games. I don't know if you saw the monologue off the top. I talk about you're the guy till you're not the guy in the NFL. This is a short-lived run for him.
Well, I think part of it, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was going to be out for four games anyway, correct?
Yeah. He's suspended for four.
He reminds me a lot of, remember Sean Green on the Jets?
Yeah.
That type of build, that type of runner. Now, he had a pretty decent rookie season. 5.6 yards per carry, 517 yards, and 9 touchdowns. That's nothing to sneeze at. I know he was eating bonbons with his baby mama and all of that, but it wouldn't shock me if Bill Belichick swipes him up and we see him in week five.
Yeah, he's going to end up some. He's a good football player, but you know, he could have some problems behind the scenes we don't know about as well. Speaking of which, how about this Bucs kicker, Robert Aguayo here? Taken in the second round, another, you know, like Geno Smith, taken in the second round, and like Hackenberg, I think people are overreacting to this. Every time the kid misses a kick, you can't panic, especially in the preseason. You've already messed with him so much. He admitted that he was nervous in the first game. Then the second game, they said, no, now he's got the yips. Now they got the poor kid seeing a sports psychologist. We haven't played a regular season game yet. They're ruining this kid.
Yeah, now listen, he was the most accurate kicker in the history of college football, 96.73% of converted attempts. He never missed an extra point in college. He comes into the NFL, he starts off with a missed extra point against the Eagles, then he misses two field goals against the Jaguars. So at practice, they had him try a 50-yard field goal, and they said, listen, if you hit this, practice is over for everybody, which to me was kind of risky, because if he missed it, everybody would have been pissed off at him. He made it, and they were able to end practice. But he ended 3-for-6 on the day in practice, which is still, you know, listen, he might be just a head case. And these guys are rare breed kickers. Most of them don't feel like they're part of the team anyway. They don't really get to practice with the team. They're almost like a pitcher who's pitching a no-hitter all the time. Nobody's really associating with him and talking to them. So I don't really know what turns this around. He's got it in his head. He's obviously got the skills. So I don't know. It wouldn't shock me either way. I understand they spent the second round pick on him and they traded up for him to get there. But listen, if he can't do it, he can't do it. People think that, oh, you could just get anybody to kick the field goal. But when the game is on the line, and you don't have the right guy, it's all of a sudden it's important there. So,
well, that's the thing. It's risky to put that in the hands of, like, even, you know, the physical tools, but it's a mental thing. You're right. Because there's a lot of guys who can kick a football, but can they do it under the pressure? Can they do it under the bright lights? And he's having a problem right now. But I think people are overreacting just a little bit. Jameis Winston was 3-for-9 the other night. You know, so, you know, maybe Cutter, like, Dirk Cutter is going to kill this kid. Like, basically, like, Dirk Cutter's a hard ass, man. He's giving him like the evil eye on the sidelines. He's staring him down. Now they got him seeing a shrink. Like you said, they got him like, what is this, the military? No one can leave until you make the kick.
Where's your tolerance? Where's your tolerance? If you let him go all the way through in game one, he misses a 39-yard field goal, first kick. He's done. Forget it. He's never going to get a chance. Yesterday, he kicked the center in the ass with the ball.
Well, somebody's going to pick him up, but yeah, you know, this is why you don't take a kicker in the second round, and you don't trade up to do it. but nevertheless, we've only got a couple of minutes. Doc Gooden and Strawberry, this is getting strange right now. I don't really get this. Basically, Strawberry, I don't know, he's got a book out, whatever. Strawberry's doing the radio tour, and basically stating he's concerned about Gooden, that Gooden is a full flout out like cokehead junkie and is in really bad shape. And Gooden responds and says, listen, I'm not perfect, but I'm not out of control. Like, he needs to chill out and stop talking about me. And he said, I'm not going to be friends with this guy anymore. I'm cutting my relationship with Strawberry. You know, it's kind of sad. I don't want to see it go out like this.
This is like the fourth time this has happened in the last 20 years here. But you know what? I have to say this. First of all, Strawberry brings more attention to himself by and promotes his book by talking about Gooden. But if you saw the 30-for-30, Darryl looked healthy. Doc did not. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but anybody that I speak to agree. Did you see it?
Yeah,
just looked off to me.
Well, he is off. I mean, the guy, you know, like, I don't believe that. I think he's a battling drug addict, in a sense that, you know, Doc Gooden's not on the street panhandling every day.
Yes.
But you know that he has his dark moments where he's hitting a pipe, you know, for 72 hours and staring out the blinds paranoid wise and stuff. It is real sad, isn't it, man? And you look at like Clemens and him. They're always comparable. Clemens is vilified publicly, but still has his life in order, you know?
Yeah, no, it's sad to watch somebody go down like this. My one regret here is I had a chance to play stickball with him one time on the way to the game. He was passing by a school that we were on. Except I got to pitch to him, and he would hit, but he wouldn't pitch to us.
It's amazing.
That was my one regret.
I'm getting goosebumps now thinking back in the movie Do the Right Thing and just the argument, Gooden, Clemens. Yeah. Like, America was so polarized then. Remember, Mike? You know, it was Bird and Magic. You know what
I mean?
When
he came up, it was electric at Chase Stadium. I mean, it was something different. I haven't seen anything like that since.
He sustained it for the whole time.
Yeah.
Great pitcher.
All
right, so listen, we're going to be quick on the way out here. The Kansas City Royals, man. I swear I said like a month ago, I said Ned Yost won't quit. He'll never quit. When they were at the All-Star game, Ned Yost said, we might need home field advantage. And people are like, you guys aren't going to make it. And like, I give credit to Ned Yost for this. I really do. A lot of other managers would have given up. You know, Ned stayed on the these guys. They battled. They're 11-2 in their last 13. They've now won 8 in a row. They're on a roll, and they're underdogs tonight in Miami.
Listen, they are on a roll. I don't think they have the horses to carry this through all the way this year, but they are just stronger mentally than everybody else. It is a long season, and they're just outlasting people. They're just you saw last year how they would pull out games. They did it against the Astros. They did it in the World Series. They are just stronger mentally than everybody else, and they're going to be a force to be reckoned with down the stretch here. You know, at the All-Star break, when we were looking at him and say, ah, what a shame, no chance to get back to the World Series 3 in a row. Nobody's saying that anymore. Nobody wants to play them right now.
Four games back. So you like the Royals?
Without Stanton, yeah. Without Stanton, I'm going to go with them tonight.
All right. You know, Ventura's 4-0 in his last four starts. Cashers yet to win as a Marlin. We got to get out of here quickly. Cubs minus 270 right now. You got a guy in Vegas. You're a former Wall Street guy. You know, sports bettors will say minus 270 is crazy. You can't lay that. A Wall Street guy will say, hey, that's a pretty good investment return for waiting 2.5 hours. I'm going to lay the run and a half in this game, though.
I understand what you're doing from the return perspective. Sometimes, though, you just got to lay the wood. To me, this is a no-brainer. If I can't get this one right, then I shouldn't be doing this. Anything can happen. I get it. But I'm as certain of this as anything, and that's why the number is where it is. With Arietta on the mound tonight, go ahead. I got it at 260, so I'm going to go there.
Mike Cardano, Roto Expert Fantasy Sports Network, joining us from the very glamorous 35th Street Studios in Manhattan, New York. Always a pleasure, Mike. So Mike Cardano with us. The studio, very, very glamorous. It's about the size of my bathroom. I don't know how they got that tent in there, actually. But hey, real estate in New York, it ain't cheap, baby. All right, so we take a quick break. We're sending it to Vegas, where real estate is pretty cheap, actually. Dave Malinsky joins me next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave Malinsky writes a daily column for pregame.com, and Dave Malinsky is eagerly counting down the moments until real football will be played. So let's, without further ado, let's send it to the Strip. Dave, it's always a pleasure. How are you doing this morning?
You know, Gabe, we actually start to sneak into a little bit of real football this week. One of the things we like to focus on, third week of the preseason, almost all of the starters will play the first half. For a lot of teams, it's the only glimpse of real football in August, but at least we get a glimpse.
All right, so we'll get to the preseason slate and your take on a couple of NFL players and teams as the season rapidly approaches. But first, Dave, last week we spoke about the Tragically Hip's farewell concert. It turns out that 11.7 million people watched it at its peak. And when you consider there's only 35 million people in Canada, 11.7 million is pretty impressive. That includes all the online mediums as well, Dave. And yeah, I know it's easy with hindsight to say after the fact, but I know that they geo-blocked it as well. So, you know, I think there could have been a worldwide audience that could have come into play, and there's no competition with this. Easy to think of after the fact, but you know, it could have been viewed worldwide, but nevertheless, 11.7 million people exceeded a lot of people's expectations, even in Canada.
And I'm wondering if maybe the numbers would have been even higher, because how do they count all of the big public venues that people went? You know, so many bars, restaurants, so many places threw parties for that event. Harder to get those counts, but boy, it's nice to see that number. And you know what I like? They went out in style. That was a vibrant, upbeat show. It wasn't somber. That was a nice energy. It was a way to send the crowd home on a high note. Very well done.
Yeah, I'm not as humble. I would have been much more dramatic on the way out somehow. You know, you can see he was fighting. He was fighting the emotion at times, a couple of times late in the concert. But as you stated, it was a very, you know, they could have done the show. I mean, think about it, Dave. They could have done a show like in Toronto or something outdoors. Let's say they did an outdoor free concert. You know, there could have been 250,000 people. But they chose to do it in a, you know, in a 6,000-7,000 seat venue. Even the stage itself was very small. You know, they, at their roots, they're a garage band. So I thought it was fitting that they go out in that manner.
It provided a nice comfort because they could be who they were. Like, they didn't have to change anything they did. But because if you put them in a big stadium, that is a little bit different because you don't have keyboards and horns and all of those things, you know, that drive stadium bands. So it gave them a chance to be who they were, and I think that made it a whole lot better.
Yeah, an emotional night. Word is actually Gord Downie's, he did a solo project, or he's doing it right now as we speak, to be released, hopefully before he passes away. You know, basically a more introspective, personal type of collection. So that should be interesting. So for the diehard Tragically Hip fans and Gord Downie fans, it sounds like there will be some more music to come still in the future. So, Dave, let's talk some AFC South football a little bit. I enjoyed your column as far as Andrew Luck is concerned. In the fantasy world, people very, very high on Andrew Luck. I passed on T.Y. Hilton last week in a draft, and I went with Sammy Watkins instead. And a lot of people thought, oh, you should have went with T.Y. Hilton or Brandon Cooks. And, you know, I look at the Indianapolis Colts situation, and I see an emerging Moncrief at the wide receiver position. Dorsett was drafted. I wonder if Hilton's going to, you know, how many touches he'll really get. And then not to mention, I wonder about Andrew Luck a little bit, as there's almost this, you know, assumption that now that Andrew Luck's back, the Colts are back, and the Colts are the class of this division. And I'm looking at the season division odds, Dave. I don't know if there's a more wrongly numbered division in this one, in which am I missing something? I mean, on paper, Dave, and in reality, the Houston Texans are a better football team than the Indianapolis Colts are, like on offense and defense. Like, what am I missing here?
Well, I tell you what we all could be missing. It's possible the Colts finish last in that division. Houston was better than the Colts last year. Jacksonville has made some big strides. Tennessee has made some big strides. When you go player by player across those rosters, the Colts honestly could be the worst team in that division by the end of the season.
And let's look at some of their positioning, rankings by position. And this is from your column. This is from Dave's column, yesterday's pregame.com. Running back. This is from Pro Football Focus. Running back ranked 29th. Wide receiver, tight ends, 22nd. Offensive line, 16. D-line linebackers, 26. Defensive backs, 20th. They've got Luck ranked 9th as far as quarterbacks are concerned. Yeah, you question that 9th place rating, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Luck himself wasn't that good last year. And keep in mind, that secondary rating you just quoted, that's with Vontae Davis healthy. Now they're going to lose him for a little while out of their rotation. It's not a good team, and last year Luck was not a productive NFL quarterback. Now, we got to caution a little bit because he did play hurt in a couple of games, but the bottom line is when he did play last year, he wasn't effective. If you look at the two quarterbacks most close to him for passer rating, Colin Kaepernick and Nick Foles. That's who Andrew Luck was when he did play in 2015.
Yeah, he tried to force things. It'll be interesting to see if it, you know, how it translates into this year. I mean, the fact is, they were 6-3 with Hasselbeck in the quarterback position without turning the football over as much as they did. All right, time's just flying by, but a bold statement from Dave that the Colts could be the last place team. I think the Texans are plus 220 win this division. Let's talk about the Denver Bronco quarterback situation a little bit, Dave. You mentioned off the top, week three, dress rehearsal week. I've never seen so many teams that are unprepared for regular season football as I have this year, Dave. I got to tell you, there's like a half a dozen, if not more, they're nowhere near ready to be playing real football games. And here we are right now. I know the Broncos have an elite defense, but, you know, they open up the season against the Carolina Panther team that's out for blood, out for revenge. It ain't the Super Bowl, but they want it anyways, Dave. They've got this, you know, this is tunnel vision. You know, the Panthers might be a play against in a week two, actually. They've got this game circled so much. This game's in 16 days. The Denver Broncos don't know who their quarterback is going to be.
Now, in the history of the NFL, we've never seen a Super Bowl contender have a guy like Trevor Siemian in a chance to win his spot on the depth chart. We don't even know that Simeon's a genuine number three NFL quarterback. He may not be good enough to be a number two. He's out there neck and neck for number one right now. And that shows you they just didn't get it done right in the offseason. That Sanchez, they thought, could be a veteran that would come in and not make any mistakes. He's been a disappointment. They know Paxton Lynch.
Well, Dave, sorry to interrupt you, but as far as Sanchez is concerned, just for the record, we don't have the rights to show the video, but Sanchez turned the ball over on like the 49ers 18-yard line. He turned the ball over. The Denver stout defense created a turnover, got it back, gave it back to him in a red zone, and then he fumbled it, Dave. He turned the ball over twice in two possessions in the red zone.
And they're seeing that in practice also. The thing that they wanted him to do, just play smart, don't screw up, he hasn't been able to do that. So there really isn't a lot of upside at that quarterback position. Now, here's the other thing, too. When you talk about the abilities, there's also the fact that you're this deep into camp and you haven't settled on someone. That means he's not getting enough reps with the first team. So whoever gets the nod, whether it's Sanchez or Siemian, they may have only got half the reps that they really needed to get in camp.
All right, we've got about 90 seconds left here, Dave. I didn't get an opportunity to see today's column, and I know you usually post a baseball pick. So before we get to that, week three preseason, a game that sort of caught my eye, and I've watched pretty much everybody play, but I've really spent a lot of time watching the Jets and the Giants so far in the preseason. Giants have been an absolute train wreck. Bryce Petty, I think, has earned this backup quarterback position. I just had a guest on who's a Jet guy from New York. I think Geno's the odd man out here. The Giants are 1-point favorites in this game, Dave. What do you make of this one? What do you think of me leaning with the Jets here?
You know, the difficulty is the Giants have been so bad that they need to accomplish.
That's my concern. The McAdoo's going to be so pissed off that they're going to show up. And they just got shut out.
They almost have as many turnovers as points through the first two preseason games. So they may feel the need to make something happen. If that's the case, maybe the scoreboard matters just a little bit more to them.
Anything in the NFL catch your eye?
Yeah, I think there's a total that you'll be able to read about in today's column. That's a good fit for Friday night. Tampa Bay and Cleveland over. Cleveland went from being the worst group of wide receivers in the NFL last year to all of a sudden at practice today. There's Josh Gordon, Casey Coleman, and Terrell Pryor. And Joe Hayden, the two-time Pro Bowl cornerback, is saying, you know, covering these guys in practice is no fun. So they have some tools to work with. And Dirk Cutter's first home game as Tampa head coach, watch him get creative with the Tampa offense and try to get something established for that fan base. Cleveland, Tampa over on Friday night.
And you know what, Dave? That game happens to be on national television, too.
Doesn't it? You'll be able to watch yourself win.
Yeah. CBS. I was wondering about that. I'm like, why in Tennessee? And then I realized, the 1-2 picks from last year. They groom it up. All right. So, hey, Dave, it's always a pleasure. Hopefully you have some time for me. But we'll speak before I come to Vegas for week one of the college campaign. Thanks for the time, Dave.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Dave Malinsky with us. Take a quick break. Cam Stewart joins me in studio next. Game time. Halftime Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, into the studio. Which one is the Cam Cam? They're all Cam Cam.
Hey!
What's going on, Cam?
How you doing, Morenci? Just banging off some horse videos. A pleasure to see you.
Yeah, FanXT Horse Fantasy Racing. Cam's giving you guys winners. Check out the videos over at the Fantasy Sports Network website or YouTube page. So, Cam, there's a lot of stuff I want to get to with you. Hopefully, you're able to make it down to New York for the Syracuse Notre Dame tailgate party. But we were in New York last week, and I really wanted to make it over to Trump Tower just to get a shot outside of Trump Tower. And I also remembered, I was like, you know what, at Trump Tower, I hear that the food court's pretty good in there.
You love food courts,
and that they have the best taco bowl salad in the city. Ooh. At Trump Tower. There's Donald Trump.
He's never been happier.
When he's
ready to plow into food, he's like, that's happiness, right?
You never really see him like just genuinely happy.
Yeah, no, that's the look of a man that loves life, right?
The only
there.
Time you ever see him with that smile on his face is when he's next to his daughter.
Exactly.
Ivanka. That's the only time. He's like, yeah, my daughter's hot, huh? Like, great rack, huh? You know, like, that's the only time you ever see him like It's true though.
That's the best.
Like, he's the type of guy, like, you know, like most people, like, you know, like if you, like, you know, like the episode of Seinfeld, buddy, like they peek at like the daughter's like cleavage too long, like, you know, and the guy, like Trump's the kind of guy that, hey, you wouldn't mind my daughter, huh? Hey, you wish, huh?
Look
at that, huh? But Donald Trump, he got criticized for pandering to the Hispanic crowd because it was Cinco de Mayo. I didn't see it as pandering.
He said he loved tacos and that bowl looked amazing. I made tacos
that
the other night.
That taco bowl looked good.
Oh, no, that's
can
one
we
you
get it again? It really does look good.
That's one where you can actually eat the bowl.
Like, I've been honest. I've been wanting a taco bowl like this, like, ever since I've seen this, since Cinco de Mayo.
Funny you mentioned that, Morenci. I had tacos the other night. Very delicious, but a lot of work and a lot of mess.
It is a lot of work. You need a lot of ingredients.
You gotta grind up the cheese, the tomato. It's just
buy tacos.
Too
you
much.
Gotta buy the ground beef. You gotta buy. I was once with a girl. You know, she's no Martha Stewart around the kitchen. We'll put it this way. She actually thought like the taco kit like had everything in it.
No, they could only.
So she's like, what do you mean? I said, we gotta buy cheese, sour cream. You know,
you gotta get the meat and the sauce for the meat to give it that flavor.
The salsa.
Exactly.
She's like, no, it's all in the kit.
No, it's not. Shells are in the kit.
Is the shell. What do you think? There's like tomatoes and beef in this box?
No, they're shells, soft or hard. Pretty simple. Maybe the seasoning mix.
She is hot,
though,
all right? Yeah. She's hot. But like, come on.
She's
like,
no Martha Stewart. That's
no. But it's like, I was like, what do you mean? Like, she's like, wait, we don't eat all this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not like a taco kit.
That's why I have taco night once a year.
I also think that the fantasy football draft kit term is overrated. What the hell is a draft kit?
Like, yeah, no, what do you get? No, no. Like,
what
like
a,
no, you're
kit,
right.
A kit's like a briefcase.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like, what's a draft kit?
When I say kit,
like, what do you mean? Like,
I want a hat?
Here's
a
your draft kit.
Ball?
I like
exactly.
Kirk Cousins this year. There's a draft kit.
You're absolutely right.
When
I hear a kit, I want product. I want product in my kit.
Is there like a little action figure? Like, is it a kit?
Yeah. Like a little helmet, novelty, ball? Yeah, it's notes. It's notes.
All right. Just, I want to get off my chest. I always see this
online.
I'm
with you, too. Yeah, buy my
draft kit.
I know.
What do you mean, preview? Advice? Like kit.
It's not a kit.
What is it, like little tweezers? I don't get it. But all right, so the great thing about Donald Trump, though, he loves his fast food. He's like me. You know what? It gives me inspiration because he's 70 and he's angry, and I'm 46 and I'm angry. I hope I'm as rich and I'm as happy as Donald Trump is when he's 70.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
See, and people say, oh, I guarantee you, Hillary Clinton wouldn't put a piece of KFC anywhere near her corrupt, filthy fingers, all right? Donald Trump's a man of the people, eating the people's
I gotta
chicken.
Be honest, though. I don't do cutlery in KFC. I plow right
I don't even know how you...
I get it.
Damn, it's all skin and bone. Like, how do you even... Like, there's not enough meat on a KFC
That's
piece of chicken
That's what I'm talking about.
A fork.
Like, I don't know what... Either the guy's taking, like, a jousting course on the side to perfectly slice that. No, you're right, Morenci. It's impossible.
Like, how do you...
It's impossible. Like, just grab it, dip it in the gravy like I do.
Just take the fork and eat it like...
Yeah, the whole... Yeah, go.
One thing, like...
Whole piece. Yeah, that's like me. Hey, I went to the KFC the other day. They got those new the $10 six-piecer. I just tell the guy, biggest pieces you got, no legs. He's like, you got it, Cam. Because I go in there. They know me by name in my location.
Can we get the picture up of Trump again, though?
Yeah.
Look at how nice his shirt is. Look at that plane. Look at it. It's pristine. Look, everything's pristine. He's eating with a fork. He doesn't want to get grease anywhere.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
He doesn't want to get grease on his Wall Street Journal.
Exactly. The bucket will
stop. It's like Seinfeld. How do you eat your chicken? With your hands? You know what I mean? It's how rich people eat chicken.
Yeah, Elaine's boss with the Mars bar and the knife and fork.
No, you know, and I saw the left. We're like, oh, look, laughing. Oh, he's not a man of the people. He eats KFC. It's like, when the last time you Democratic fat asses went to KFC? Donald Trump is eating American companies, KFC and McDonald's, proudly. Got to get that off my chest. I like that. How do you eat fried chicken with your hands?
I could really go for the Colonel right now.
Yeah, so
there's nobody worse. Actually, Morency, I've seen your diet.
Well,
you eat like I'm a pig and I eat so many bad things, but your diet is disgusting. You eat poutine, what, five days a week?
Last night at 2 a.m, I drank a whole 2 liter of Coca-Cola.
Yes.
I ate a frozen butter chicken, two buttered English muffins, and then I popped it off with a couple of Pop-Tarts.
Wow.
And I went to bed. Then I woke up this morning.
And some cinnamon rolls.
Yeah,
right?
I made cinnamon rolls. Normally, I don't like stuff in the morning.
I got to be honest with you.
I made the cinnamon rolls, like the big one, the big boys with the icing.
Yeah, I like the
Pillsbury. Yeah. Pounded them all back. Then I drank like a liter of orange juice. Here I am.
I told people, I've been to Morency's domicile before. There was nothing in the fridge or freezer except for one orange crush. No vegetable, no ice tray, nothing. Like not an apple, not an orange, nothing. No condiments. An orange crush. That was the only thing.
Single orange.
I love it. Hey, I used to drink 5 Pepsis a day. I got it knocked down to 3. So we both got problems.
All right. PGA golf.
Yeah, let's talk about golf.
PGA golf.
Guys who...
Dave Malinsky just said the Colts are going to be the last place team in that division.
Actually, you know what? I don't like that team at all either.
I got a question. Here's a multiple choice. What does Cam Stewart, Jeff Ogilvy, Angel Cabrera, and Cheston Hadley have in common? None of them have a PGA Tour card.
That's true.
Somebody showed him the script.
I saw it.
Don't give him the notes. But,
you're killing me today. Sorry, man. I'm loving it. No, you know the crazy
thing. But what I like about this, though, is Matt Jones, this poor bastard, finishes 126. He got to be in the top 125.
Yep.
He finishes 126, and he misses out on the money by $5,168. Basically,
do you know what that is? One putt.
Yeah, people worked it out.
One
if he
putt.
Would have made one more shot in the entire year, he would have made that extra $5,000,
yeah.
And he would have his card now.
Conversely, Sean, don't call me Gwen Stefani, nailed an 8-foot, like, jarred, like, boom,
he
just drilled it.
The final hole
he didn't even think about it. He stepped up, hit it, tour card, because if he misses that one, he's probably, you know, he was right on the number there. So some guys got luck, some guys don't. Gotta deliver.
So I got the FedEx Cup coming in here. Mm-hmm. Jason Day's favored. Bethpage Black. Barclays +700. Mm-hmm. Dustin Johnson's +900. Rory's 11-1. I'm not buying into Rory.
I'm not either.
People buy into this all the time. I guess Dustin maybe. Jason's always right there. Guys that catch my eye a little bit here. Stenson once again.
Yep.
He's 12-1.
You wish you can get 15-20 on Stenson.
But he's the most consistent player in the world right now.
He's very consistent. And Justin Rose. Coming off
the
that
guy,
goal.
Yeah, but he really wasn't playing well before that Olympic win. But something that caught my eye here is Emiliano Grillo here, Cam.
Oh.
90-1, but an 8th place finish in Rio, 13th at the PGA, 12th at the British, top 10 pace, +650 this weekend. I think that's pretty good, +650 for a top 10.
Not only are you giving everybody great information on fast foods, you're golf, Morency. You're knocking out of the park because Grillo's one of the hottest players in the world. He's under the radar. And you said it, you're almost getting 7-1 on a top 10. Now that's a value bet.
And
hey, shout out to the
guys.
Crew. Jeff, your producer, Gabe, Luke Donald was 150-1 last week, second. So he was cashing big time, man. You do a lot of those top 5 and top 10 bets.
And another quick one, and we'll get to your 6 pack. Kevin Na, another one of your guys.
He's hot.
This is unbelievable, actually. He's got the 5th most top 10s on tour this year, actually. And he's +500 to be T10 here.
Yeah, and he had a bad last round. He should have almost been there. Oh, yeah, no, the best is your buddy Drew, he bet Siwoo Kim every week. Apparently he went on vacation, missed out. Great stuff. We've been betting him every week. I got off the train 3 weeks ago. Smart move, Cam.
He's only betting a dollar a week anyways.
Well, he would have won 110 bucks.
Not bad.
No, that's all right.
And hey, where is Drew anyways? Yeah, basically, you got
Bill's like training camp, Fantasy Island.
You got 48 hours to get back. These guys are doing a pretty good job, and they don't talk as much.
And
as
I
you
agree.
Do.
I need more hours. So yeah, stay where you are.
You notice, eh? You see, nice and steady. It's like training camp here. We got the rookies in here. Yeah. No problems. No drama.
Yeah, they're more Sean Mannion.
Yeah, we got the other guys like stretching his back out, and like they're on their phone on Tinder and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's all business. These guys. What's your six pack?
Morency? I don't care. Here's a tip. Hey,
right.
Hideki Matsuyama, here's what you do. You wake up in the morning and you get, you know, like Donald Trump, get a bite to eat. And I don't want to see you leave the putting green till it's too dark to see the ball. I want you to hit 50 million 10-foot putts because his ball striking is impeccable. He should literally win the tournament by 8 strokes every week. I could have a coronary on Sunday if he's in contention. But at 30-1, I'm going back because he's one of the hottest players in the world. 2 top fives in his last 5. Brooks Koepka. Morency, you want to talk about, like, I like horses in good form. Basically, this guy's a horse. Listen to this. Insane. Second, that's a playoff loss. T2, T13, T4, T9, that's his last 6. All he does is show up and win money. Brendan Grace, 45-1. What is Grace like? Big stages. And Bethpage Black, it is a murderer's row. You got to be able to hit the ball out there. Small ball hitters could have some problems. Grace gets it done. Daniel, I'll have a cheeseburger at 80-1. Hey, we're talking KFC. We're talking burgers. A&W is opening up right by my place, and I got a card. I'm gonna go bonkers. Burger bag, please. Give me Daniel Berger at 80-1. He's hot. 7 of his last 10 tournaments, top 20 or better. Billy Horschel, he's an absolute bulldog. I like that guy. Eh? He's like that guy in a fight. Eh? He'll fight a bigger guy, and he's literally, he'll bite his ankles. He'll spit sand in his face. He's that type of guy. He just loves war. And who's my big bum? Oh yeah, Robert Garrigus. He sweats a lot like me at 140-1. Worth a look. Just don't wear white pants, at Robert. It's
the
not
redhead Cam Stewart. I swear to God, Cam. Normally you go through your six pack in like 15 seconds. The one time I get in the earpiece, we got 1 minute, you actually start analyzing the players.
Sorry.
It's like the first time in 10 years. All right, we'll be back with my plays in a day. I swear to God, every time the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart's on the show, I want to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken as soon as I leave the studio. Let's start off with the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's hope they fry the Angels. The Angels are terrible, all right? They lose every day. I know it's R.A. Dickey, but word is he took some Viagra. Let's go with the Royals. Royals, man, they're 11-2 in their last 13. They're 13-2 in their last 15. They're an underdog tonight against the Marlins. Give me the Royals. Cleveland Indians. The Indians are hot. They keep on winning. And I'll tell you what, the Athletics, we gave you the under last night. They're 13-3 to the under in the last 16 games. Make it 14-3. It's going to go under 7.5. We wrap it up with the Chicago Cubs minus a run and a half. I ain't laying minus 270, all right? If you want to put it in the parlay, put it in the parlay. But San Diego are basically beaten down. The Cubs are hitting the ball right now. I'll lay the run and a half with Arrieta. Minus 1.5 is minus 145. We'll have some NFL football for you later in the week. College football rapidly approaching. It's that time of the year, people. I got to get out of here, man. I got to go to KFC. And we've got a debate going on here. KFC or Popeyes? I'll tell you right now. Popeyes sides are better. Like the corn on the cob, the potatoes, the biscuits. You ain't beating the biscuits. But the chicken itself, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Nothing beats it. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours. Yeah.